Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of This Week in Health Innovation. I'm your producer and co-host of the show, Greg Masters, and joining me, as always, is my partner in the virtual studio, Dr. Pat Salber. Pat, are you still with us?
Absolutely. Calling in from the West Coast today.
And we are broadcasting again from Washington, D.C. at the AHIP Conference on Medicare, Medicaid, and Dual Eligible. And we have a treat in store for our second in the Health Innovation Count to Health 2.0 Silicon Valley. And with that, we're going to introduce you to Akhila Satish, who is the co-founder and CEO of My Cyber Doctor. Brief and intro.
Okay, Greg, so let me take over from here. We're having some technical difficulties because of broadcasting from a conference hotel and having a little competition with some music here. So, Akhila, it's delightful to have you joining us today. And I think what I'll start with is, because you got shortchanged on your intro, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll dive right into My Cyber Doctor.
Sure. Thank you so much, Pat. It's so exciting to be here today with you and Greg virtually. I'm calling in from the Bay Area myself. So My Cyber Doctor is a healthcare communications company. And actually, what we're really excited about right now is our new product that we'll be launching live from the Health 2.0 stage on Wednesday, October 2nd.
Oh, so I have been on your site, and I see that you are, Greg, you got a problem. Mission control, there's a problem here. You got to get that music out. At any rate, I've been on the site and I've seen your demo, which is very interesting. It was a demo from a prior Health 2.0. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe the demo on the website is actually from our conference in Berlin last year. That was wonderful. We really enjoyed the Health 2.0 conference, the network.
Did you launch in Berlin then, or are you actually launching next week?
So we have multiple different products as a company, and so one of our new products is launching next week. So it's a really exciting time right now. Actually, back in Berlin, we were presenting our patient portal system, which we're really excited about. But our new product actually focuses on kind of the part of the patient portal that I think is overlooked sometimes in healthcare, which is that, you know, even if the technologies do what they're supposed to do, they enable communication with your physician, they help you get your refills easily, there is still a huge possibility for non-adherence. And very often patients who are non-adherent for reasons outside of the healthcare system or the technology that's supporting them. And so we've been working on a tool to improve patient adherence. And that's actually the tool, the product, as a mobile application that we will be launching at the Health 2.0 conference next week.
Okay. So let me back up just a little bit and find out about you and your background. Are you a physician? Are you a patient? Or are you just an interested other with a technology background? Or are you all three?
So we're all patients, which is my favorite part about working in healthcare. Everything I think we do is relevant to not just our user base, but also to us as patients. I actually studied neuroscience at the University of Michigan as an undergrad, and then I have a graduate degree in biotechnology from the University of Pennsylvania. So I guess I fall into the other category there. And I've previously worked at the National Institutes of Health and Life Science Research, so a very academic background, if you will. But obviously, since I run the company, I'm very focused on kind of the business aspect. And it's been a real pleasure to sort of be bringing together the technology side of things and making something usable and engaging for a patient, as well as making something that, you know, truly has a business model and has a hope of sustainability. and at the same time building in kind of the academic rigor.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but so what problem are you solving? And the other thing I always like to ask entrepreneurs was, is there kind of a personal story behind your interest in that problem? And how does CyberDoctor go about solving that problem that you've identified?
Sure. So, you know, I think very broadly speaking, there's a huge problem in terms of how our scientific community communicates with the public at large. And so I actually recently wrote an article in Forbes about scientific literacy, and I think it's very relevant to really the problem that I have devoted my life to solving as an entrepreneur. Realistically speaking, the person on the street cannot pick up Nature Communications and read about the infancy of a drug that's going to end up curing them if they're lucky enough to get it in time. That's just not the way healthcare or the system works right now. And at CyberDoctor, we've broken that down into a specific part of that life cycle where it doesn't work. We've been building systems to really combat how patients report symptoms, and then once they report those symptoms, how they're processed and sent to their physician. That's been the core of our business at CyberDoctor. And going out of that, we've tried to take patients a step beyond just helping them get their symptoms, again, accurate diagnosis from their physician, and have that process be as painless and actually as fun as possible, to getting them to the point where, you know, we've built out a treatment tracker where it tracks their medication, helps them know what they're supposed to be doing. It's a very commonly known fact that 50 to 80% of what you hear in a physician's appointment, you don't remember after you walk out the door. There's so much going through a patient's mind at that point in time. And again, everyone who's been there knows what that's like. You know, you're very nervous, you're very anxious. There's definitely a level of cognition that's impaired because of the circumstance. And so, you know, building out systems that really answer that moment of unmet need for a patient is what drove us. And it really has been personally a tremendously rewarding journey.
So, that's great. That's great to learn about. And by the way, I'm all over your website, and I have to compliment you. It's a very beautiful, clean website, very very easy to find things. And any listeners out there who want to have an example of a really good website, take a look at mycyberdoctor.com. Really, really nice. So, Akilah, what I'm wondering about is, is this an app or a platform where I'm going to have to enter stuff? I mean, we're now in this age of the blue button, and we know from the failure of kind of the PHR movement that if you make me do anything, chances are I'm not going to use your app. How do you address that issue?
Absolutely. You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I personally like to say that if I'm a lazy user, everyone else is too. No one is going to work harder than you will for your own product. So I think in terms of symptom reporting, we had an advantage there, because when you're sick, you have a motivation to want to get your symptoms heard. So from that standpoint, you can have patients do a little bit of the work there, and that hasn't been a problem for us. When we're talking about our adherence application, though, and I don't want to give too much away before the big launch, but that's really where it gets good. When you're
You're not going to give us a scoop today?
I'll give you plenty, don't worry.
Okay, we can wait.
Well, I mean, we have to build it up. This is the Health 2.0 countdown, right?
Absolutely, it's the Health 2.0 countdown, but we of course, love to find out stuff before anyone else, but we'll wait.
So I think with the adherence application, there is no connection to an EMR necessary. There is actually no need for you to go ahead and input all your medications, so we can send you annoying reminders that you find helpful for the first week and then tune out of. There is none of that. It is a complete departure from what adherence applications have looked like in the past. When you think about an application that's supposed to help you take your medication more often, what would you think of?
Oh, that somebody's going to send me a text message and tell me, did you take it today? Or, you know,
right,
something along the line. I mean, kind of traditional stuff.
Of course. And you know, what is really the reason why you don't take your medication? I won't put you on the spot for that question. But you know, the reasons why you don't take your medication are not always that you forget. You know, there are a whole host of other reasons that go along with them. And when you step away from just medication adherence and you look at something like your diet adherence and how often do you stay on a physician-prescribed diet, particularly when you're a patient with a chronic disease, like a diabetic patient or something like that, how often do you really stick to that doctor-prescribed diet? And when you don't, what are the reasons why you don't? So we really wanted to approach it from that angle. So why does someone ignore that reminder and kind of what is their life circumstance and what choices are they making in that moment? And so we built out a platform that is an app. It takes about 10 minutes to play. So that's really exciting. That's short, less in time investment, right? And it's a really beautifully designed application to put you in a place where you can examine your healthcare choices. Patients are guided through a process that allows us to gather feedback and information on how they make choices and how their decision-making ability is actually probably causing some of their non-adherence. And even if they are adherent, can still improve their adherence. You know, even the healthiest person can probably get a little bit healthier. And so that's the way we really built our platform out, that it's giving people very unique, very different feedback from what you've ever gone before in your life, and putting that together with resources and tips for a healthy life. So like I said, it's a departure from anything that people have seen before in the adherence world. It really is. There are no reminders. There are no connections to an EMR. You can share the information with a physician, and we do recommend that because it starts a topic. It starts a discussion about how maybe you're not functioning as well as a patient because, you know, you just don't have the information you need, or you're not functioning as well as a patient because you don't know what options are out there for alternative medicines and your current medicine is causing side effects. Those are some of the things that we can really springboard a discussion on and really help patients think about.
And I assume you're talking about on your website now as we're talking, and I see there's a Play Patient Partner Now. Is this the part of the your product that we're talking about?
Yes, actually, the product is called Patient Partner.
Good. So my question is, this is very interesting, also, again, beautifully done, a nice design. The question I have is, have you done any testing of your product on real patients? And if you have, can you tell us a little bit about how you went about that and what you learned and whether it helped you to make a better product? And if you haven't, then tell us a little bit about your plans to ultimately get that kind of feedback. Because one of the issues that we've had in digital health, I'm sure you know, with the 20,000, who knows, it could be 30,000 healthcare apps that are out there now, is that somebody, you know, goes and designs this great solution, but they don't actually have, you know, patients and doctors helping them with the design, and then they're surprised when people don't use it. So tell us a little bit about how you figured out that what you've designed is actually what the patients will like and will want to use, not just once or twice, but in a sustained fashion.
Of course. You know, I think it's definitely about patients liking the product. It's also about it being effective for them. And that's something that, as a company, we've always felt very strongly about. Patient Partner was actually the first of our products to go through a clinical trial process. So we ran an IRB-approved clinical trial to test the product and to make sure it was truly effective. And so
where
we found
did you do that?
It was actually... No problem. We ran it out of a health system in Pennsylvania.
And
it was
great.
It was actually wonderfully done in the sense that we were able to randomize patients across physicians, across different kind of socioeconomic demographics, anything you can name of. I mean, we had a variety of different ages in there, variety of different literacy levels. And so we had a really wonderfully mixed population to sort of set up and test with. And truly, the results were extraordinary. Our application is, I want to say, 3 or 4 times more effective than anything that I have at least seen to date of applications that do have data. The kind of adherence that we can promote with sort of the minimal kind of investment in terms of sitting a patient down and having them play that application is phenomenal. I'm actually going to be unveiling the results officially at the show on Wednesday, October 2nd. I think
that was my next question, of course.
I knew it was.
You're going, you have to wait again. Okay. And are you going, I'll ask you this. So you're going to unveil the results, but do you have plans to publish it in,
in a medical
journal?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. It was independently run. It was set up to be peer reviewed from the very beginning. And quite frankly, it had the business side of me just kind of, you know, a little shaky, because it's very stressful to actually put a product through a clinical trial. I had never really sort of understood what that process would take from a business standpoint. So it was really wonderful to sort of see that come together. And for me personally, coming from a life science background and coming from research, it was very rewarding as well when we got to see the results. And it's just phenomenal, actually, the amount of efficacy we can get out of this application. And I think when you see it and you start to understand that it's really, we've put years and years of behavioral change literature into this application to build it, to design it. And we've not just done that, we've also done hundreds of user interviews at this point to make sure that it's something that they do want to play. And it really is a game for them. It's really something that you would want to do just because it'll improve your life that little bit. And if it improves your health and wellness on top of that, that's even larger. And just in case that wasn't enough, we're also partnering with a reward program as well. So when you download the apps and you go ahead and you purchase and you start to improve your mental thinking about your healthcare choices, you also get access to a reward space. And so every time you go ahead into the pharmacy and you purchase prescription medicines, et cetera, you'll get significant discounts and earn points that you can then turn in for cash back or gift cards. So that's really exciting, too.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I want to congratulate you on building in a clinical trial early in the development of your product. It's something that I know WellDoc, which has become quite a successful company, also used the same strategy. And as a former chief medical officer of a health plan, I could tell you that when people came to sell me stuff, the first thing that I always ask is, well, can you show me an independent, peer-reviewed, published paper that shows me that your thing works? I know you know it works. I know your paid-for evaluation works, right? But I want to know that you took yourself through that more rigorous independent process, which I know from talking to other entrepreneurs is extraordinarily stressful and actually in the pharmaceutical world sometimes means the end of your product, right? I mean, you've done development and then you do that final clinical trial and guess what? The drug has no efficacy. The stock tanks.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're out of business. Which is not as stressful as it can get.
No, it absolutely is. And, you know, I think you don't want to sell something that doesn't work, though. I think as someone who's running a business and hoping to create value through that, you don't want to be in that position where you're selling something that really isn't of any value beyond the superficial for someone. So, you know, having the clinical trial results has really put us in a place where I feel confident about the product we're selling, and I think that's really resonating in how we can sell it and talk about it and offer it to consumers. You know, I have no qualms about telling, you know, my grandparents or my parents that this is going to help with my health. And so I feel very confident, you know, kind of sending everyone the 500 emails to send it out to their family and friends. So
did you see I think it was an announcement today, maybe yesterday, from the FDA about how they're thinking about regulating apps? And my very shortened version of it is that if your app does something that could present potential danger to a patient, it will need to be regulated. And the example they gave was, an app that can do an EKG to diagnose a heart attack. You know, you make a mistake in that, and the patient's in big trouble. Where do you think your app will fit? Are you going to need to be a regulated app, or are you really just focusing on a consumer market and you won't need to address these any kind of regulation through the FDA?
You know, I think I'm really excited, actually, that the FDA is starting to crack down, because it goes back to what I was saying earlier about scientific literacy. There's just too much out there, and consumers can't really sort it out on their own, and I do worry that they're being put at risk. So from that standpoint, I'm very grateful for the FDA guidelines. I think it will obviously kind of make the app process maybe more difficult for some companies, but also will result in a more equal marketplace for people to look at and to kind of decide things. Because you're going to have people purchasing an EKG app who don't understand the concept of an EKG fully. I would say that very few people do, actually. So I think you definitely need to have those checks and balances in there. In terms of our application, we don't provide direct medical advice. So again, as far as I know right now, we don't fall under any issues with the FDA. However, I am touching wood as I say that. But I don't.
Crossing your fingers and calling your attorney, right?
Oh, that was already done.
So I'm going to take a little left turn here.
Sure.
Because we've talked about your product, and I think it's very cool, as much as I understand it now, and I certainly will be in the audience watching you to unveil the rest of the story on this app and on the results of your study. So now here's another question for you. You mentioned being a business person a lot, so here's the question. How are you going to make money?
So actually, because the application is something that really transforms a patient's adherence, we're talking to pharmacies as well as pharmaceutical companies that have a vested interest in their adherence. Now, for a variety of reasons, they're really the people that see a revenue share going up when a patient is more adherent. For example, a adherent diabetic patient will spend approximately $700 more a year in a pharmacy than a non-adherent diabetic patient would. There are equivalent numbers for a patient with a cardiac illness, a patient with hypertension or with cholesterol issues, and they're staggering. So they're really the people who see the revenue benefit. Now, we have been approached and are talking to accountable care organizations as well who see it more as a savings. And I think in the future, kind of with meaningful use and all the other things coming down hospitals right now, they may also see it as a benefit going forward. Insurance is another group that we play well with. They generally look at it as savings, which, again, it's just harder to monetize and sort of put a price tag on it. And that's kind of why the pharmacies and pharmaceuticals have been a strong player for us. However, at the end of the day, you know, we didn't want to keep something that was as effective as it looked like it was in the clinical trials to ourselves. And so come October 2nd, this app is going to be available to everyone. And you will have complete access to the rewards platform, have complete access to a full report on how you think, as well as helpful tips and strategies to really transform you out of kind of that mold of generic adherence applications and kind of bring you to a different place of thinking about your healthcare. I think almost all the patients in the clinical trial sort of gave feedback on the ground to the technicians there, and we heard about it, and they all said that it was really transformative, that it really put them in a spot for the first time to examine their choices. And I think that's something that a lot of us don't get the chance to do. So we are doing the consumer markets as well. It's obviously perhaps not our strongest source of revenue given the opportunities with pharmaceutical groups, but it's something that we're considering.
And so I guess I don't quite understand how you would play with pharma. Are you thinking that they would license your tool, or they would out and out buy you, or how's that money going to flow?
Sure. So the way it works is within the application, there's room for patients to come in and play a little bit, and then they hit a certain point, and after that point to kind of play more and to really gain the report, gain the rewards, gain everything that kind of makes the app worthwhile, they do have to pay. For pharma, however, one of the things that we've built right into the app itself is an option for a promotional code. So a pharmaceutical group could distribute promotional codes to a segment of their audience that they felt was either getting started on a new drug or was on a drug that wasn't refilling as often and really incorporate in, without giving too much away, specific scenarios or specific features within the application for that patient population. So it's more of kind of a tool that they could distribute to patients on particular drugs, as well as potentially incorporate into their clinical trial processes. Because as you can imagine with clinical trials, and as I'm sure you know, adherence rates need to be as high as possible for those as well.
Yeah, well, so that's pretty interesting. And your arrangement with the rewards platform, is that, you know, something, can you share with us who the rewards platform is? That's one question. And the other one is, and if you can't, that's fine. And the other one is, you know, how are they splitting in the revenue? How is all of that going to work?
Sure. So the rewards do cycle directly from the company, and we do have a deal with the discount group in terms of sort of they try to get more users, and we sort of bring them users. So there is obviously a collaboration and a partnership there. I hate to do this to you. You're making me feel bad.
You're not going to tell me.
A second. At 1:05 p.m., you have to be in the audience because we do have something very special and exciting planned for the demo.
How are you going to give the audience rewards?
Well, actually, in a strange way, possibly. And maybe I will share that with you, although technically we were trying to keep it under wraps. So one of the things that we're doing is our application is all about changing healthcare perspectives, and part of the demo is going to involve something that's never been seen before at Health 2.0 in terms of helping the audience change their perspective. And it is going to be something that you will receive. So I would highly encourage everyone to come in and check it out. It's going to be something different for sure.
Tell us the time again so that we're sure that any of our listeners who have the good fortune of attending Health 2.0 that starts on Sunday as a pre-con, what date, what time, and if you know the location, because we want to be sure as many people as possible get to come and see your demo and see whatever this big surprise is.
It's October 2nd at 1:05 p.m., and it's on the main stage. So it's in, I guess, the grand ballroom or whatever that particular large room is called. I'm not aware, actually, but... it'll be something fun and different, and it'll make some great social media pictures.
Oh, well, it sounds very enticing. So we'll be sure to be there and see it. We're kind of coming towards the end of our time together, and what I usually like to close with is any thoughts about where you're going to go. You've made a tremendous amount of progress. I believe I saw on your website that you started in 2009, and you know, now you are here with clinical trials, ready to have a publication, a beautiful product. What's next?
You know, I think we want to keep doing what we're doing. We really do. I think it's a rare kind of serendipity that we have all the right pieces, in the sense that we have the academics, we have the clinicians who can really drill down on a product and know how to measure it and measure it effectively. For example, with our clinical trial, it was in diabetic patients, and we measured their HbA1cs, and that's a very rock hard measure to look at. It's quantitative, it's objective, and you know it's the best measure to do. And we have sort of the people in house who can look at that and say, that's a really good measure, and here's why. And so that's a really rare thing, I think, for a startup of where we're at, to kind of have that resource. And then to just have sort of the technical infrastructure to kind of think through and pull that together. I think we're in a really rare position in terms of what we have within the company as thought leadership, and in terms of how, you know, we see healthcare moving forward. And, again, it comes back again, and I sound like a parrot at this point, but it really comes back to that issue of scientific literacy and making the communication channels really open, whether it's a communication about why a patient's not adherent and how we can improve that, or whether it's another communication channel for symptoms.
Well, that's great. So I can hear our music in the background, and I really want to thank you for spending some time with us and sharing as much as you are able to about your great product, CyberDoctor. And I want to urge all of the listeners to be sure you attend this session, and you'll get to see the unveiling of a new product and maybe even win a prize, it sounds like. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Pat.